Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Milwaukee. Padres here for three. Ryan, do you want to pretend like this series is important?
Yes. I guess let's go two-part question for you, Kevin. Number one, the Padres just took two or three from the Marlins. Does it matter? Number two, the Padres are now playing three against Milwaukee. Does it matter?
Well, I'll say this. They did it again, right? Like just when you wanted to and look, I think that it's too late. They just finished a 10-game homestand in which they went 500 and they lost. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Wait, though. They're still 5.5 back just like they were. They lost because 10 games came off of the schedule. 10 days came off of the calendar, 11 yesterday. If you count yesterday, which you should because it counted. And so now they are 6 games back and they are 6 games under. And there are 34 games left, and the math just doesn't work. Four teams since 1995 have come back from this far back to win a playoff spot. That's four teams. That's not a lot. Right. So, no, it doesn't matter. But it does because, like, they're not mathematically out because this team is super talented despite what the numbers say. Plus, they're playing the Brewers, who are a first-place team. So the Padres are probably, like, win two out of three or sweep them or something because that's what they do. So, right. Yeah.
I was – you know me, Kevin. I like a good analogy, and I love a bad analogy. I was thinking this morning about what this is. The San Diego Padres, Kevin, are sitting at the blackjack table at the Mirage. They've got $100 in chips. They need to turn it into $1,000 in chips, and their flight leaves in 2 hours. I mean, that's what this is, right? And I actually crunched some numbers here. I crunched a little bit of numbers. If you're playing an average hand of blackjack, the odds of you winning are something like 49%. What percentage of the Padres games have they won this year? A little less than 49%. I mean, not only do they need to turn a small stack into a big stack, they've got to do it before their Uber arrives.
Now,
right?
The specificity of your analogy makes me think like you have. I mean, because you said the Mirage, right?
I just picked 2 hours.
You had some details.
I picked it. But, you know, this is the old 6 a.m., 7 a.m. You're sitting at a blackjack table. You got a flight that's got to leave, and you're down to your last stack. And it's not just, and this is why I like this analogy. It's not just that you need to grow your stack, right? It's not just that they need to stack wins. It's that they need to stack an insane amount of wins before it's time to go. And you're right. I mean, simply taking two of three from a playoff team or going 5-5 on a homestand doesn't get you there. I mean, they're in worse shape now than they were a week ago.
And you want me to rub a little salt in the wounds because – one of the regrets, and we've thought this for a while, as the teams above them, right? They have to jump four teams. And as those teams have just sort of traded places, no one, the Cubs got super hot to get there, right?
Right.
All of those teams were hot at some point. But in this past time where the Padres haven't been terrible, right? Like since the All-Star break, it's been like, you know, if they don't pull this off, one of their great regrets is going to be that none of these teams ran away. Remember when they were going to Arizona and it was that they had 7 games against Arizona upcoming and Arizona was just the team right in front of them. Mm-hmm. Arizona was reeling. The Padres lost 5 of 7 against Arizona. Do you know which team holds the wild card spot now? Arizona. Arizona has moved up. It was right there for you, Padres. It was right there for you. Had you won 5 of 7 instead of lost 5 of 7, the Padres, let me see here. I think I wrote it down somewhere. If they'd done that, they would be 2.5 back. If all other things had stayed the same, right? But they would have knocked down. They'd be 64-64, I believe, they'd be 3 up, 3 down. Yeah, and the Diamondbacks would be 64-64. They both would be 2.5 back, but no. That's not what happened. You lost 5 of 7. And I mean, wow.
Yeah. They've got a 6-game stretch coming up here, Kevin. And I hate to keep using this analogy, but like at some point they need to win more than 5 in a row just to get to a point where every series matters again. I think, is this their opportunity to do it? The Brewers are a little bit of a paper tiger. I mean, they're winning their terrible division, but they're, you know, they can't hit. They're a team that even when we saw them back in April and they had their way with the Padres, we sat there, we went, well, yeah, they're good. They're a playoff team, but they're going to do just enough to get in, which is exactly what they've done, right? They haven't gotten, they didn't get better at the deadline. They're just sort of maybe the worst good team in the National League. Then you've got the Cardinals who stink. Is this an opportunity? I mean, if they can go 6-0, are we back to thinking maybe there's a pulse, or is it too late?
Oh no, absolutely. Are you, if they go 6-0 and they're at 500 and September is starting, there is not a, look, if they go 6-0, then they've blasted through that threshold that really is the thing that's keeping them from being, you know, where they, whatever, could be or should be, and that is winning more than 3 in a row. You win 6 in a row, and it's like, oh, well, okay, well, now we can start to believe, whether it's too late or not, their Padres are playing like they could have played all along, or for, you know, parts, big parts of the season. So yeah, absolutely. They get to 500 by going 6-0 on this trip. Sure. Now, sure. As you are, I know that you are presenting this as a capital if. So, and I also know like what you're talking about with the Brewers for sure. Like, it's like every year they are the paper tiger, but they go to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years. I mean, sure. And they're right there. And by the way, they just swept the Rangers. They just swept the Twins. They've won 5 in a row. Right before that, swept by the Dodgers. Potters right. Know how that feels. You know, right before that, swept the Chicago White Sox, who are terrible. So yes, but like, here's the deal. They do give away things at deadlines. They don't make big splashy deals. And yet every year right there, I think they're 3 up on the Cubs, maybe 4 up on the Reds. Yeah. But you know what? By the way, they came to Petco in April and destroyed the Padres.
Yes, they did.
Padres won one game against Peralta, which they face, I think, tomorrow when Pedro Avila goes. Tonight it's Darvish against Woodruff. Woodruff is having another Woodruff kind of season. And then Sunday it's Walker against Hauser. But they beat the in what was a game 3 against the Brewers. They Padres won 10-3. In the other 3 games, the Padres scored 5 runs.
Wow.
And Colin Ray pitched one of those. So for the Colin Ray, he pitched for the Brewers.
Yeah. Like all ex-Padres, he pitched probably 7 shutout against them.
It was a 6 and it was like 1 or 2, but it was far better than anything that he should have done. He had some more good starts for them, but has been, you know, Colin Ray. And I guess it was sort of the start of the no-name, subpar pitcher doing well against the Padres right. this year.
Yeah. Kevin, can we talk about Pedro Avila for a minute?
Sure enough.
I texted you and Jeff Sanders this over and over again. The Derek Norris trade keeps paying off. He was 1 for 1 for old friend Derek Norris in what felt like 15 years ago. This is somebody who has made the most of the opportunities that he's gotten. It seems as if they've rewarded him here by making him a starter as opposed to Rich Hill. Is there a prestige that comes with being the starter and not the piggyback guy?
Sure.
Does that matter to him? It seems like it matters to Rich Hill.
Who told
you the other day that they brought him here to start. So talk about that dynamic a little
bit. Exactly. So yes, it does. There is a prestige thing. It is a bold move. They took a guy who has not been a reliever for a while. Yes, Rich Hill was a reliever for a chunk of his career, but a guy who is adamant about starting, and they said, no, Pedro Avila is going to start this game. And so they're putting Pedro Avila on it, right? Like there is, I don't want to diminish what he did in piggybacking on Rich Hill in 3 different starts and keeping the Padres in those games. But you know, he came in and they were down by multiple runs. And so now he's going to be the starter. The guy has just been, he has really been good. Now he came in the other day, gave up a run in an inning. But he has been really good. And this is a big deal for, I think, you know, is Pedro Avila part of the rotation next year? Obviously trying to win on Saturday to, you know, get to that 6-0 that we're saying that they can do on this trip. But this is also Pedro Avila in 2024. What's going to happen, you know, with Lugo? What's going to happen with Waka, Snell? So you have some rotation openings next year, at least one. And so I think this is a big deal for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy. It's so funny. He's sneaky young, Kevin.
Yes. For a guy who's been around.
For a guy whose name I've heard every year since the Padres wore Navy. I mean, it's weird. But it is kind of cool. The Rich Hill dynamic, he has to be, I mean, by all accounts, he's a veteran guy and understands his role in the world. He has to know that he hasn't been very good. But he also seems pretty dug in that he's a starting pitcher. How can both of those things be true?
And that the last outing was better, and that, you know, he and Camposano on the same page, you know, kind of was the way that Rich Hill's put it a couple times. Okay. That was nice that for him and the Padres, even though they did make this decision then to go with Avila, who earned it, right? Like, you're also, by the way, like, rewarding, and you're showing players that, like, you know, we're going to go with the best player, right? At some point, it becomes just words if you don't do that. So. Mm-hmm. How can both of those be true? I mean, Rich Hill is what Rich Hill is at this point. He's had some good starts this year. He is 43, and the margin for error is slim. When he misses, you know, when you're throwing 87 miles an hour, it's going to get hit. Player sitting on the curve and the right speed curve, then he's going to get hit. So that's who Rich Hill is now. He is capable of going out there and giving you a quality start. He did it for the Pirates. And you know what? Last game, there was a fluke home run and another hard hit, and that was about it against him. So he pitches well, say, in relief of Avila, then – you know, maybe he's back in the rotation. They do have 13 games in a row, which, by the way, is a big deal since they don't get to replace Robert Suarez.
Well, let's talk about that. That was next on my list. Because we can't have nice things. We, the Royal we. Padres cruising to the rare easy win the other day. Robert Suarez comes in, ump checks him. They see something on what looks like his glove hand. He is kicked out for sticky stuff, and that comes with a 10-game suspension. And while there are plans to appeal or adjudicate it somehow, that stuff never works.
No one has, by the way. They've right. talked about it, but the three guys, he's the fourth. No one has appealed it.
Right. And it's funny. The umpire had a little bit, I don't know if you caught this, he had a little bit of a malapropism after the game. When asked what was there, what they saw, he said that they found an absorbent amount of sticky stuff. Context says he meant exorbitant amount, because the next thing he said was there was a lot, you know. So they, you know, they found an exorbitant amount of sticky stuff. Kevin, they're patrolling this, obviously, but sticky stuff has been a part of baseball forever and seems like it's still a part of baseball. Surprised he got caught, or surprised that he was using it, or neither?
Surprised he got caught would be my first answer, because these things have become so routine that, I mean, they're checked, right? Like, every guy who comes in, they don't check every reliever, but they can, and they check most. You're supposed to be checked coming on or off if you're a reliever, and they check them coming on for almost every guy. Right. So it's kind of like, oh, wait, what's going on out there? And Jeff Sanders, like, looking at the binoculars, like, what's going on out there? Oh, wow. They're calling everybody over. Oh, he just got ejected. And so that would be my answer. Look, there are pitchers that say that it's still being used, but that was just an odd one, you know? That was just an odd one.
Well, in his defense, is it was sunblock, you know, the sunblock that we all put on our wrists. He said it was sunblock, and sort of the clear, we've seen the videos. I'm sorry, I'm trying to phrase this correctly and give him as much fairness as I can. We've seen videos from inside Tropicana Field of guys slathered in sunblock, even though they're playing indoors,
right?
Because the sunblock helps. So, I mean, to me, it was sunblock is the version of I was taking a substance that I didn't know had steroids in it, right? That this is what you say when you get caught is, hey, it was sunblock.
Right. It's both. It's right. Like, it's what you say when you get caught, and it's what you say if it's the truth. I mean, yeah. Like, yeah, because, you know, you don't ever, very rare would you go on record saying I'm guilty. Right. Yeah. So you're always on record saying I'm innocent. And then, you know, you serve your suspension and it is what it is. Right. I know that everybody was kind of reading into how there was no protest by Robert Suarez or anything. Guys, Robert Suarez has like a resting pulse rate of 4. All right. The guy does not react to anything. So I wasn't reading too much into his not protesting. You could have told him anything out there. You know, the world's ending in 6 seconds, Robert.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
To me, Kevin, this matters for 2 reasons. Number one, it's not like he got hurt and you can replace him.
Right.
So they're going to go 10 games down a man, and down a pretty good man, by the way. In their bullpen. Number two, this matters to me because assuming the Padres do what we think they're going to do during the offseason, mm-hmm. this guy's your friggin' closer next year.
Yep.
This is the guy you're paying like a closer now.
Yep.
Does this cause any doubt as to whether or not he can do it without sticky stuff?
I think there had to be a little bit of question mm-hmm. before this in that, you know, last year, Robert Suarez missed 2 months with a knee injury. This mm-hmm. year, he missed 4 or 3.5 months with elbow inflammation. You know, he had a really good run at the end of last season. He has been okay this year, which you very small sample size of the reliever. I'm not trying to sow this in, you know, deep doubt about him. I'm just saying there had to be a question anyway. And yes, mm-hmm. so the answer to your question is then, yeah, this would be more so, right? Like, plus, remember, if you're moving Robert Suarez into the ninth inning, then you're moving, is it Steven Wilson into the eighth? And then you're moving who into the seventh? And you're, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the bullpen is a place. Yes, Tom Cosgrove seems like an option. Yes, Alec Jacob, if he's healthy, seems like an option. But the bullpen is a place of focus for the offseason.
God, I loved Alec Jacob. Remember that weekend he was great and then he got hurt? Gosh, he was, and I know that he's battling, trying to come back. I was reading Jeff Sanders' injury notes today. You know, among them, Joe Musgrove starts a throwing program today, but it's going to be very deliberate. Kevin, at what point do they think that they're still contenders to the point that they're going to try to bring Musgrove back? Or are they a bad week away from shutting Musgrove down and saying, see you next spring?
I suppose they could be, yes. Okay. And I would think that Joe would have some say in that. And I think we all know that Joe will want to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, he has made allusions to that he could have been more careful coming back right from the start, right? Okay. And that, I mean, look, guy had a 1.84 ERA over 12 starts. He's had a good season. It's just been abbreviated. It didn't start out well. And probably a chain of events led to his mechanics getting just off enough that, you know, he didn't feel right in most of his starts and then had the shoulder inflammation. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be more careful, and that if they are 12 games out, or if the, you know, the math is almost there, that they're still 5 games out and it's the middle of September. He might be shut down, but as of right now, the Joe is going to be like full steam ahead, but with just, you know, very little foot on the gas. I don't know if those two analogies go together. When I say full steam ahead, I don't know what you do when you're driving a steam engine.
Right. He's going forward, but slowly. You had a great note in your Padres daily newsletter. I mean, there's a chance he could come out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And he kind of alluded to that. That was that a question you asked him?
That's just Joe. The great thing about him, you know, he knows you're there to kind of learn stuff you forget what the question was, but you know, he was talking about his best path back. And it almost certainly is as a starter. But, you know, if he's just not getting built up there and maybe it took a little longer than they would have hoped, right? Because what's going to happen is he's going to play catch at 70 feet today. Could be doing it right now. And then as we tape this on what for me is just early afternoon here. But and that'll go on for a week. Then probably when he gets back, another MRI just to see how it's looking, make sure it's, you know, maybe a little bit better. But as he has said, mostly based on how he feels, then go catch a little longer and then get back on the mound. And he hopes that goes pretty quickly once he's on the mound. What if it doesn't? And they need him. Okay. Could he come out of the bullpen? Sure. I think that, as he said, his best path, most valuable path, is as a starter.
Well, and then the risk here, Kevin, is he hurries back, he overdoes it, and then he needs surgery, and then 2024 is a thing, right? I mean, is this the idea?
Theoretically, yes.
Okay.
If there's no structural damage, and if this second MRI were to be any way alarming, then Joe is going to be a big part of the shutting it down if that were the case.
Sure.
I know that we want to be very, very skeptical or cynical, whatever, be careful about what is said about by the Padres about injuries. But like, Joe has driven this a lot. He was the one who said, "I'll be back for Seattle." So the Padres, and there was no indication at that point. There hadn't been an MRI. So that's why the Padres said he'll be back for Seattle. And then, Joe will be a big part of this. And in a way that, like, there's 4 years and $80 million left on this contract for his hometown team that he wants to win a championship with. So he's not going to be dumb about it. And especially given the odds of this team making the playoffs.
Yes.
That said, it's Joe Musgrove. And if they're, three games out, he's going to be going as hard as he can possibly be to be pitching in the playoffs, which is another way the bullpen might figure in, or shorter outings when he first comes back. Get him back on the mound for a 3-inning start or something like that, so that he could be built up for the playoffs. That's in his mind, because he would like to pitch in the playoffs again for the Padres.
Sure. The Joe Musgrove, Rich Hill, Pedro Avila, three-headed monster. That's what you can do.
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable. Kevin, before we go here, to me, it was seismic news this week. Shohei Ohtani tore his UCL. They have not said for sure whether he'll need surgery, but it could be Tommy John. That would be his second Tommy John. This is a guy who's going on to the free agent market soon, and the Padres have been linked to him. Does this change the Padres' desire to go after him, do you think? And if so, what does the market dictate he's worth if he's only a hitter next year?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff on this, and I don't know firsthand if it changes. I don't know how big the Padres were going to go to get Shohei Ohtani. I don't honestly know how big anyone was going to go. Like, was this all that surprising? Like, right? Like, he's an amazing person. There's a reason he's the only one that was doing this.
Right. It's hard.
It's really hard. And there's a human body, and you just don't. They say Father Time is undefeated. Well, like, the human body, I watched it in the NFL. You have men getting bigger, faster, and stronger. People are going to get hurt. Yeah. Okay. So like, this probably just makes the market more realistic. And he probably is pitching again. Is he pitching again as a reliever, that's available? Is he pitching again as a closer? He is still incredibly valuable as a designated hitter, possibly an outfielder, I guess. I would imagine the Padres would be in on Shohei Ohtani. And that perhaps, I was talking with Jeff Sanders a bit about this yesterday, perhaps given the way that they have structured contracts, the way that Josh Stein, AJ Preller have gotten creative with contracts, that this would even – be better for the Padres or give them more of an opportunity to get in there. Not that other people can't get creative too, or wouldn't be prompted to by, "Hey, Shohei, absolutely you can pitch for us." Now also, does he get Tommy John surgery? And, is he pulling a Bryce Harper, right? Where he's back in the middle of next season? I mean, this complicates things quite a bit.
Yeah. You know who could use a DH next season? San Diego Padres. But I had that first thought. I was text chain with somebody about this the other day. If the Padres will go head-hurtingly weird on a contract for Michael Wacha or for Nick Martinez, what might they do for Shohei Ohtani? You right. Say, hey, year one, we're going to pay you to rehab and DH the second half of the year. Year two, if you're pitching, we'll pay you X. If you're just hitting, we'll pay you Y. I mean, that's, to me, that – in a way, I think it has helped their chances, slim as those might be, to sign him. Kevin, can I ask you a question about Matt Carpenter before we go?
Mm-hmm.
Playing more, part of what they're doing. He's not playing the way he was not playing for.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there is somebody shared a conspiracy theory with me the other day, and let's shoot this thing down. They're keeping him around so that during the offseason, when maybe they talk about trading Juan Soto, they attach his contract to it, save themselves a pile of money. Is that something that's even plausible? I sort of went, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I went, no, I'll ask Kevin. And there's no better time to ask you than here on this public forum. So,
sure. Sure, that's plausible. I mean, they unloaded Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox also gave Eric Hosmer a run, right? Yeah. Like, you know, to see if they could get something out of it.
So the Cubs.
I don't know that anyone's going to give Matt Carpenter a run, but that has been done several times before where you are trading somebody who's on the restricted list or, you know, whatever, just came off it and no one's ever going to give another shot. The Padres did that. Sure. There is some sort of method to their madness, and whether it's let's get him back in spring training and see what he can do, or it's we'll attach him in some sort of trade. Look, there are talks that going on internally about what to do with Juan Soto, and he could be traded this offseason. And I'll rule nothing out. That is a very interesting thought. It had not even occurred to me. And mostly because sometimes I guess I get too into the weeds being here and talking to people. And I'm just telling you, like, there's a big subset of people in the organization who can't even believe he's here, including Matt Carpenter.
Wow. Kevin, were you around for Hector Oliveira for Matt Kemp?
Well, there's one. Sure. I was. Yeah, sure.
The Padres traded for a guy, then ripped him for the horrible off the field stuff and then cut him, essentially.
That was always what was gonna happen.
Right.
Yep. So yeah. Sure. That's
crazy. Kevin, we're coming up on the 30-minute mark. I would be remiss here at the very end if I did not wish a very, very happy birthday to Jeff Sanders.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
And so it is Jeff Sanders' birthday, so we will do our best today, Kevin, not to make his life too complicated. He will have something posted right now previewing the Padres series, and hopefully he will take the rest of the day off. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.